For many literary scholars as well as readers, W.B. Yeats is the greatest poet of the century. And for more than 50 years, Richard Ellman's W.B. Yeats, The Man and the Masks has been the definitive biography of the poet. Now there's a contender for that honor. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says that for initiates who don't know much about Yeats, Ellman's biography is still the ticket. But for devotees who want to know how Yeats became Yeats, R.F. Foster's W.B. Yeats, A Life is the new standard.
R.F. Foster begins his biography of W.B. Yeats with a product differentiation claim. Most biographical studies of Yeats, says Foster, are principally about what he wrote. This one is principally about what he did. A historian rather than a literary critic, Foster commits himself to recording the day-by-dayness of Yeats's first 49 years. What his magnificent but dauntingly detailed biography chiefly reveals to us is that day by day, Yeats was wallowing in mystical mumbo-jumbo. From the time he left school at 19, Yeats immersed himself in the study of the occult. He belonged to secret organizations and believed in fairies, reincarnation, automatic writing, seances, and a coming Celtic millennium. True, during his formative years, Yeats was also reading Blake and Nietzsche, but the work of those eccentric geniuses was outweighed by that of the merely eccentric. That some of the most miraculous poems of the 20th century emerged from this intellectual sludge gives the lie to the you-are-what-you-read nutritional model of learning. Foster has rightly dubbed his biography a thick history of Yeats's life. It's also a smoothly written one that's politically as well as psychologically astute. Foster's authoritative grasp of Irish history illuminates the wobbly foundations upon which the House of Yeats rested. Yeats, who was born in 1865 into a Bohemian artist household, was descended from Irish Protestant gentry whose world was threatened by the late 19th century Home Rule movement. The adult Yeats embraced moderate nationalism, but, says Foster, Yeats would always emend his presentation of Irish politics depending on the sympathy of his audience. Indeed, when that audience included the radical separatist Maud Gunn, Yeats spouted off like a Gaelic Che Guevara to try to win her heart. Yeats met the red-headed Amazon who would inspire some of his greatest poetry in January of 1889, the same month his first book of poetry, The Wanderings of Ossian, was published to rave reviews. Gunn was 18 months younger than Yeats, but as Foster shows, much more sexually experienced. For many years, the virginal Yeats knew nothing about Gunn's erotic entanglements and tirelessly proposed marriage to her. Though he was putty in Gunn's hands, Yeats could be quite obstreperous with other folks. Foster quotes hordes of people who found the poet arrogant, pedantic, and a wee bit of a bore. One friend, Thomas Sturge Moore, destroys the fantasy that it would have been heavenly to hear Yeats read aloud. Describing an evening spent listening to Yeats recite poems, Moore wrote, "Yeats read them abominably as usual, so that it was very difficult to hear the last word of each wretch of his parson's caw." It was in the arena of the theater, however, that Yeats incurred his most impassioned critics. In the opinion of one wag, Mr. Yeats had done more than anybody else to create an Irish theater, and he had also done more than anybody else to prevent anyone from going there. Foster chronicles the feuds and fundraising schemes that compose the history of what would become the Abbey Theatre. He also brings to life Yeats's relationship with the other towering female figure in his life and his partner in the Abbey Theatre, Lady Augusta Gregory. Their friendship spanned nearly 40 years and was the antidote to the black magic bond with Gunn. Foster leaves Yeats in 1914, plagued by a sense of being prematurely washed up. In a forgivable plug for Volume 2 of his biography, Foster notes that, ironically, the best was yet to come for Yeats. His finest poetry, marriage, fatherhood, political revolution, even greater fame, and yes, still more spectacular supernatural revelations. Foster's relentless rendering of Yeats will doubtless result in another splendid book. but all of Foster's heroic labors cannot quite clarify the relationship between this peculiarly busy man and his surpassing genius. Still, the yolk and the white of the one shell inseparable, the dancer and the dance unknowable.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed W.B. Yeats' A Life by R.F. Foster.